Dick is beside her now, and he too is peering under the bed. But hush, the curtains part.
And that was the way that Cedric Adams earned his first $3.50 on WCCO, and was probably just worth it. Well, happily for Cedric and WCCO, that was not the last $3.50 he earned on this station. Cedric had something, and the advertisers recognized that. But just what it was that he had has been a subject of considerable speculation for many, many years. Perhaps it can best be defined as the attitude of the small-town boy who never ceases to wonder at the goings-on in the big city. The friendliness, the neighborliness, the cracker-barrel atmosphere of the small town came through in Cedric's voice as he talked on the radio. Many is the time that callers at WCCO have picked up the phone and said, "Well, you know I'm a friend of Cedric's." Well, I suppose everybody is Cedric's friend. And to our knowledge, nobody ever calls him Mr. Adams. He's Cedric. He's Cedric the first time you meet him, and he's Cedric when you hear him on the radio, too. And as everybody knows today, Cedric was heard on the radio with increasing frequency. Remember the Pure Oil Potpourri starring Cedric Adams, Clelland Card, Jack Malarick's orchestra, and a vivacious young singer named Betty Brewer?
The Pure Oil Company presents The Pure Oil Potpourri, starring Cedric Adams, Clelland Card, Betty Brewer, and the Pure Oil Quartet, and Jack Malarick's orchestra. And now here is Pure Oil's man about town, the amazing and amusing Cedric Adams.
Yes, amazing and amusing, back in 1937. One advantage of going to a chiropractor is that you can use the X-ray he takes of your spine for a lampshade when he gets through. This sign on the back of a garbage truck at Two Harbors: service with a smell. Casey Jones of the old railroad wreck fame wasn't christened Casey. His real name was John Luther Jones. He took the name of Casey from Casey, Kentucky, his hometown. Everybody says, "I'm going to go up and jump in the tub." I've never made a survey on exactly how people get into bathtubs, but personal experience indicates that getting into a bathtub is one of the most cautious moves we ever make. One foot goes over gently, followed by the other, and then the rest of us. Not a sign of a jump. Language carelessness, I suppose. You'd better check your rabbit's foot in case you're carrying one. It's only the left hind one that's supposed to be any good as a luck piece.
Clelland Card will be along in just a moment, but first, Pure Oil singer of popular melodies, Betty Brewer with Somebody Loves Me.
Somebody loves me, I wonder who. I wonder who he can be. Somebody loves me, how I wish I knew. Who he can be worries me. For every guy who passes by, I shout, "Hey, maybe meant to be my loving baby." Somebody loves me, I wonder who. Maybe it's you.
Up to now, we have used quite a number of recordings of the old shows, but in this instance, we were able to bring back in person not only many of the original members of that orchestra and Cedric Adams, but also Betty Brewer. She is now Mrs. Kenny Spears, wife of Kenny Spears, who was accompanying her on the guitar, who has been a member of the WCCO staff orchestra for 20 years. Over the years, there were many persons at WCCO who tried their hand at news, Cedric among them. He became probably more successful in the infant news broadcasting field because he's Cedric. And also because his newspaper connections and background made him qualified for the task. It was in 1934 that Cedric went on the air in his now familiar 10 p.m. spot for Maurice L. Rothschild Company. His popularity grew during the late 1930s. He acquired a new sponsor, Tasty Bread, in 1939, a sponsor that has been with him ever since. Many is the story that Cedric has covered in his news over the years. The stories of war, of government, of politics. The story told with the Adams chuckle, and yes, the stories of tragedy. Perhaps you remember that summer night of June the 18th, 1939. A calm night it was, the storm's fury spent. And here is the actual recording of the lead story in Cedric's broadcast that night.
The city of Anoka is ruined and shattered tonight. A tornado that whipped through Anoka, Champlin, Corcoran, Cedar, and Maple Grove at 3:20 this afternoon had taken the lives of 9 residents. 144 have been injured, and damage is now estimated at $2 million. Destroyed are the Anoka Armory, 3 churches, the post office, the Masonic Temple, and the high school. 300 homes in the Anoka area have been damaged or demolished.
And there was a young announcer at WCCO back in those days. He was on duty that Sunday afternoon when the news of the Anoka tornado broke. And with true devotion to duty, he hastened to the stricken city to bring Northwest listeners an on-the-spot report. That announcer was Eddie Gallagher. Hey, that's me. Oh, and by recording, the actual recording, here's the way I sounded a long time ago on that Sunday afternoon.
Tornado lasted about 5 minutes, and the damage it caused in that 5 minutes is, it's impossible to estimate at this point. Of course, you are amazed when you walk down the street and see huge trees snapped over like they were toothpicks and boards driven into cars. Cars turned up on their side, thrown into houses, the sides of houses torn out, and debris all over the place. The roof of the large churches taken off, iron girders twisted as though they were just a little piece of wire. That's what a tornado does.
One of the familiar voices on WCCO back in the 1920s was that of Doug Baldwin. You may remember him in the Mr. and Mrs. Gabby skits he did with Marjorie McCready and as the master of ceremonies on the Call of the North program. Doug Baldwin is now secretary of the Minnesota State Fair Board, and we have asked him to tell us a little story tonight, the story of many years of close association between the Minnesota State Fair and WCCO.
Radio, like everything else, has changed a good deal since I was on WCCO in the early 1920s. You worked at radio more or less in your spare time. Not very many of us were fortunate enough to be able to make a living at it. That situation has changed today, or so they tell me, but back in the 20s, I also worked for the Minnesota State Fair. I had two interests, of course, radio and the fair. I had an opportunity to observe what radio and WCCO could do to help bring about a common understanding of the problems of those who till the soil and those who live in the cities. The cooperation that WCCO has given the Minnesota State Fair all these years is just one example of the service it has given the people of Minnesota in fostering better understanding between people in the city and those who live in small towns and on the farms. During the past 30 years, the years that WCCO has been on the air, the Minnesota State Fair has grown tremendously. On behalf of the Minnesota State Fair, I would like to extend my congratulations to WCCO on its 30th anniversary, and also to express my appreciation to the station for having played so large a part in making the Minnesota State Fair the finest in the nation.
It's rather difficult for us to place our next WCCO personality into our 30th anniversary show from the standpoint of time. She was with the station almost from the beginning, and her name has become so well known, and it was only recently that she left WCCO to go to Hollywood. We're speaking of one of your favorites, Ramona Gerhard. She's probably best known for the theme she adopted, the song Ramona, which she played on many programs on which she was a featured artist. There were so many programs, so many personalities that we would like to mention. We'd like to mention them all if time would permit. Well, here are a few anyway that will bring back fond memories. Remember that friendly voice of the late evening hours?
It's Bob DeHaven time. Here's the 10:30 fellow, Bob DeHaven. He's been such a fellow since January 11th, 1943. He's been taking it easy and playing popular recorded music to add to the pleasantry of Northwest living. Say something in your native Minnesota tongue, Bob.
Well, good evening, everybody. Are you home tonight? Or are you over to Aunt Minnie's to see her quilting for the county fair? Are you holding your girl's hand?
Well, if not, hold it.
I have easy music such as Here Comes Heaven Again and Basin Street Blues by Fats Waller and Somebody's Rockin' My Dreamboat. I won't tell you every tune because I'm sneaky that way. Billy Butterfield and Margaret Whiting have indicated their opening tune will be There Goes That Song Again. If I fade and stop talking, you'll hear it clean through.
And remember Clellan Card's Almanac of the Year? It was an early morning favorite on WCCO for years. Clellan Card, the working girl's friend, the birdie with the yellow bill, the coffee dunking sessions. We regret that Clellan is ill and is unable to be with us tonight in person. We had planned to reenact his popular almanac show. But here for the sake of memory and old times is Clellan Card with the birdie.
Birdie, little yellow bill hopped upon my windowsill. Cocked her shining eye and says, what would you do with the light? Sock it?
1939. It was an ominous year, and we had begun to realize it all too late. There was Adolf Hitler, Munich, Britain's Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain and his umbrella. Peace in our time, he said, but there was no peace. We're in the 1940s now. The Low Countries, France invaded. Panzer divisions, Nazi spearheads, Blitzkrieg, lightning war. But it wouldn't happen again. The United States would not become involved. A group of students gathered, held a rally at the University of Minnesota. Let God save the king, they said. Uncle Sam is not coming. Let Europe fight its own troubles. But war came. And it came on a Sunday afternoon. The date is December the 7th, 1941.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin. The Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, by air, President Roosevelt has just announced. The attack also was made on all naval and military activities on the principal island of Oahu.
And that was it. From those smoking ruins at Pearl Harbor arose the anger of an entire nation. It was fight or die. And the next day, before the Congress of the United States, President Franklin Roosevelt said,
yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
Well, you know what happened after that. It's history now, the history of World War II. You went to war, we all went to war in those days. There was the Normandy landing, General Jimmy Doolittle's first attack on Tokyo, island hopping across the Pacific, bloody fighting all the way. There was the drive across Europe, Italy, France. And at last we crossed the Rhine to the German heartland. Enemy resistance was crumbling. The atomic age came upon the world, Hiroshima, Nagasaki. Words cannot express the way we felt then, and the heartache for our boys. That was real to every family in our land. And radio had a major part in that era of our history. From the very first depredations by the Nazi aggressor, radio was there to cover every historic event. It is also an historic fact that radio news grew to full maturity during these dark years. What had been of secondary interest became of prime importance. And WCCO established at that time a separate news and special events department, a full-time staff of trained news personnel. That department was headed by Sig Mickelson, who later became vice president of the Columbia Broadcasting System. As important as World War II was in the lives of us all, this is a history of WCCO and its part in your life. And there are many important events, and you heard them all over WCCO. You may have forgotten April the 12th, 1945. It was in the midst of a sunny afternoon, and WCCO announcer Paul Wan broke in.
We interrupt this program. Flash. President Roosevelt
is dead. The Associated Press has just announced in this flash that we have read to you that the president is dead. We have no further details. However, here is a bulletin just handed me. The White House announced just a few moments ago that President Roosevelt died of a cerebral hemorrhage at Warm Springs, Georgia. We have no further details. Stay tuned.
Less than 2 months later, it was a new president, Harry Truman, who made this historic VE Day announcement.
This is a solemn but a glorious hour. I only wish that Franklin D. Roosevelt had lived to witness this day.
But the big celebration came 4 months later, August the 14th, 1945, because Japan had surrendered. The war was over. It was a joyous occasion. Crowds streamed out into the streets, on Broadway, on State Street, on 7th Street. And in Minneapolis, WCCO announcer Jack Stanley was describing the delirious scene on Hennepin Avenue. Remember it? It was VJ Day.
On this, the day that the war with Japan ended. Ever since a few minutes after President Truman announced that the war had ended, this has been one madhouse. It's been a combination of the Aquitennial Parade, the 4th of July, and perhaps New Year's Day as well. It's been a combination of everything. We're going to try to interview a few people here.
Radio is like most business. It's business and a highly competitive one, too. And over the years, WCCO has been competing fiercely with the other radio stations in the Twin Cities area. But when the key is turned in the lock, and when radio people get together to relax, there is a friendly spirit. Yes, even among those who work for different radio stations. And at times, the friendly spirit, the neighborly spirit of helping a friend in trouble, has been extended to those competitive working hours. Speaking in behalf of the other broadcasters of the Twin Cities, we are pleased to have as our guest tonight Stanley Hubbard, president of station KSTP.
This is one of those very pleasant moments in life. It's a time when you can salute a friend you've known for a long time. And when you've worked, as I have, in friendly cooperation and competition with WCCO for 30 years, you know what an important force this station has been in our community. At a time like this, any broadcaster finds himself in a reminiscent mood. And a few of these memories may help to tell the story of WCCO as I have seen it. There were, of course, the days of WLAG before it became WCCO. At about that time, I was heating up my station, WAMD, which 4 years later was become KSTP. I'll never forget the St. Paul Union Station studios of WCCO because they worked fine except when trains came roaring through, and then the rattle and vibration made them cease broadcasting. The new studios at WCCO and the Nickel Hotel were unique because they were the first studios in the country to have windows so that the visitors could watch the artists performing. The unfortunate part of the WCCO transmitter was the opening on March 5th when President Coolidge was on the Coast Network on the occasion of his inauguration. On that occasion, WCCO opened a superpower station. And the unfortunate part was that all listeners of those days had nothing but crystal sets. And the majority of the receivers of the Cat Whisker No. 2 variety were unable to pick up the sharp WCCO signal, even though they had superpower. And I can well remember Don Davis calling me up and telling me that all the people were hearing was WAMD, and we immediately canceled our program and proceeded to rebroadcast the WCCO program. I don't believe today that most people realize that those that had crystal sets actually heard WAMD instead of the new superpower WCCO transmitter, and all we had in WAMD at that time was 500 watts. But you know, starting something in radio in those days was like opening up a new church. Everyone sort of pitched in to help. I can recall the opening of our new WAMD studios in the Radisson Hotel. WCCO, like good neighbors, came over to help us open the studio. Well, this reminiscing can become pretty endless, so let's just conclude by saying that you, the listeners of this area, have a lot to be thankful for because of the healthy cooperation and competitive spirit which has existed between WCCO, KSTP, and other stations. You've had and are having the finest radio in the world. And so to you, WCCO, congratulations sincerely from KSTP.
Thank you, Mr. Hubbard. Well, our imaginary wanderings have taken us all the way back to the days of Oscar Danielson, the Wheaties Quartet, back into your memories of WCCO as it grew into maturity.
It shouldn't be too difficult now to go back to summer. It's July. The sun is out, bright and warm. The leaves are on the trees, the flowers are in bloom, and the sun sparkles brilliantly on Minneapolis's lakes. Yes, it's Aquatennial time, the WCCO Aquatennial Show. And remember this sequence from the 1951 show?
Thanks for the plug, Bob. Thanks.
How about that, huh? Now you remember.
Didn't
That's me. A snazzy outfit you're wearing, Arthur. Is that a shirt or one of your sponsor's old tea bags? What is that thing?
You should talk. That's the first time I ever saw a double-breasted swan wrapper. You know, it's a little tight around your kitchen drain.
Yeah. Listen, Chubby.
Chubby? Look at that pot on you.
Yeah, but at least my lid fits.
Yeah, with that nose, you've got the handle to go with it.
Now, wait a minute. Quiet, or I'll have an NBC vice president bite you in the leg. By the way, Arthur, you know I'm off the air right now. How are things going in radio? Well, things are so bad, all the programs are giving up. Last week, young Dr. Malone turned in his Band-Aids. The Whistler was only in a half pucker. And Portia isn't facing life anymore. She just stands sideways and lets it squeeze by.
Yeah, and the sponsors aren't so loose with a buck anymore. They're cutting the budgets way down.
Well, what about those big giveaway shows?
Ah, they're trimming them down to the bone. Next year, Bob, Stop the Music will be called Shut Up With That Harmonica Already.
What about those big prizes, Arthur? No more ocean liner trip to Hawaii?
No. They'll just put you in a wash tub, see? Hand you an egg beater and point you toward St. Paul.
And you've had it, huh? I think we reached lacrosse for that, didn't we? The biggest barn I ever worked
Isn't
in.
Isn't this a wonderful
Isn't
place?
Something, huh? Remember those two corn balls, the Sunshine Boys with their corny jokes, and those minstrel shows?
I sure do, Bob.
And our friends, those Dutch comics, Meyer and Schultz.
Bob, why don't we run through a rehearsal, just in case we ever get an offer, huh?
Well, swell, Arthur. Music, maestro.
Yes, Robert.
Say, a funny thing happened to me on the way to the studio. A bum stopped me and wanted a dollar for his 80-year-old mother.
Did you give it to him?
Gosh, no. What would I want with his 80-year-old mother? Laugh it up. Don't let it lay there.
Hey, you know, Bob, you're effervescent.
What do you mean I'm effervescent?
Yeah, you'd be a good-looking fella. Effervescent for your face.
Hey, Hotshot, tell me, what is a botanist?
I don't know. What is a botanist?
A botanist is somebody who sews on buttons. Boy, am I clickering. He's at my loose upper place.
You know, you remind me of the Green Hornet.
But the Green Hornet stings.
See what I mean?
Of course you recognize those two familiar voices, Arthur Godfrey and Bob Hope. Over the years, the entertainers who have appeared in these shows reads like a who's who of show business. Eddie Cantor, Gary Moore, Art Linkletter, Ken Murray, Edgar Bergen, Jack Carson, Victor Borga, Helen O'Connell, Kurt Massey, and yes, the Veep himself, Alvin W. Barkley, a former vice president of the United States. The Aquatennial Show is a community service staged each year by WCCO Radio for the Minneapolis Aquatennial Association. And this year, for the very first time, WCCO Radio will present for the people of St. Paul the WCCO St. Paul Winter Carnival Show. Not only has WCCO promoted civic events for the Twin Cities area, but also for the far-flung corners of the Northwest. WCCO has assisted Montevideo in its fiesta days, county fairs by the hundreds, the Wilmer Coffee Fest, the New Ulm Centennial, boxcar days at Tracy, the Bemidji Summer Carnival, and whatever the festive occasion may be in your hometown. At At the same time that Sig Mikkelsen was developing the WCCO News Department into an instrument of service to the people of the Great Northwest, a young farmer, legislator, and broadcaster came to WCCO. He established the WCCO Farm Service Department. And during the next 12 years, Larry Haig became the voice of service to the farmers of the Northwest. Because of his invaluable service to WCCO, Larry became general manager of the station 2 years ago. And millions of Northwest listeners will remember the familiar voice of the man who served them so many years, our boss, Larry Haig.
The tradition which we have inherited in this modern day of radio from the early operation of WCCO is a tradition of friendly service to the people living in the region we serve. For 30 years, WCCO has fostered the feeling that all of us living here in the Great Northwest are neighbors, and that this wonderful region of friendly people is really a great big community representing the warm heart of America. And day after day, we hear from our listeners, friendly people who write in and tell us how they feel about the things we're doing here at the station, and that they appreciate our efforts to bind together the five states of this region in a way that make friendly neighbors of us all. It is particularly heartwarming to us here at WCCO to receive confirming evidence from this, from the governors of our neighboring states, and from our own governor, whom you shall hear from in just a moment. Allow me tonight to read some messages of congratulations which we have received here at WCCO from the chief executives of our neighboring states. And I believe that they express the friendly sentiment more eloquently than anything I could say. First, here's a message from the Honorable Walter J. Kohler, the governor of Wisconsin. And he says, in behalf of your many Wisconsin listeners, as the governor of your sister state of Wisconsin, I congratulate WCCO not only for reaching its 30th anniversary, but also for maintaining its leadership in the dramatic development of radio. WCCO has proven itself most worthy to receive the tribute of its millions of listeners in Wisconsin. And we wish you every continuing success to WCCO. And from the Honorable Sigrid Anderson, governor of South Dakota, comes this greeting. He says, it gives me pleasure to greet WCCO on its 30th anniversary. WCCO has given 30 years of splendid service to a wide area of the Middle West, including South Dakota. We South Dakotans salute you. Best wishes for continuing success. And from the Honorable William S. Beardsley, governor of Iowa, comes this message. I wish to congratulate station WCCO on its 30th anniversary. In this 30 years, radio has become one of our dependable sources of fine entertainment, news, and information. I wish to commend you for your fine record of service and wish you every success in the future. And from Bismarck, North Dakota, we have received this message from the Honorable Norman Brunsdale, governor of that great state. He says, congratulations to WCCO on your 30th anniversary. You are to be commended for your excellent programs and services to the public. May I offer the staff of WCCO my best wishes for many more years of successful service. Well, folks, on behalf of everyone here at WCCO, we are humbly grateful for these words of encouragement. We sincerely hope that WCCO will continue to be regarded by everyone who listens to the radio in this region as a strong, clear voice of a truly friendly neighbor.
The Columbia Broadcasting System and WCCO have been associated for 27 of the station's 30-year history. The president of the radio network, Adrian Murphy, salutes WCCO on its 30th anniversary.
Today, radio is everywhere. In our living rooms, our dining rooms, kitchens, bedrooms, playrooms, workshops. In our automobiles and everywhere we go. Stores, restaurants, hotels, just about everywhere. In well over 100 million different places. VSATs all over the nation represent a tremendous investment in radio by listeners, amounting to several billion dollars. And it's an investment that the American people have made because they accept, as a matter of course, that there will always be something worth listening to whenever their sets are turned on. CBS Radio has had the good fortune of being able to provide its listeners with a great share of the nation's most popular programs. Programs that fulfill each listener's desire for news, discussion, and information of every kind, and for music, humor, drama, entertainment of every sort. In the end, however, the true measure of radio is the contribution which the local station makes to its community, in public affairs programming as well as in entertainment. Since its beginning, WCCO has established patterns of public service which have long been admired and followed by broadcasters across the nation. For these and other activities, and for its great roster of local personalities, WCCO has earned so many major awards that one of the national broadcasting magazines was prompted to write that the station was running out of wall space to hang its medals and awards. Over these 30 years, WCCO has proved itself again and again to be a powerful community force in the Northwest, a truly big station in the nation. And every sign points to a long span of top performance in the years ahead.
We have spent some time this evening going back over the years into the history of WCCO. This has been the history of a good neighbor, your good neighbor. But who has the ability to foretell the future? Yes, neighborhoods may change, people may change, but a good neighbor is always a good neighbor. Whatever may come, and we hope it will be continued peace, we hope it will be prosperity, but whether it's good fortune or adversity, WCCO will be your good neighbor for the next 30 years. And we hope the service, the entertainment, the names that come into your home, the programs will be as thrilling to you as the names, the service, and the programs of the past 30 years. The programs and names you have heard in brief review tonight. And what of the future? Perhaps the best man to comment upon that is the governor of the state of Minnesota himself, the Honorable C. Elmer Anderson.
Nothing is likely to stir the memories of Minnesota's people more happily than this review of the development of radio in our region. It has been a rich and rewarding experience to take part in this program, commemorating WCCO's first broadcast 30 years ago, and to hear again the programs and the voices that we associate fondly with the past. On behalf of the people of Minnesota, I want to salute WCCO on its 30th anniversary for the leadership it has provided and is still providing in the development of this important medium of communication. Since the days of the crystal set, radio has enriched the lives of our people with entertainment and information, and WCCO Radio has been a leader in this since the beginning. It is a matter of pride to us in Minnesota that WCCO, as one of the nation's clear channel stations, is located in our state. Its powerful voice carries the message of Minnesota not only to our own people, but to millions of others living beyond our borders in the neighboring states of the Northwest region. WCCO Radio has become so much a part of the life of Minnesota and of the Northwest that many of us think of it as a member of the family. It is as a member of our family that we commend this station for its 30 years of service to the Northwest. May the neighborly feeling that WCCO has fostered during this first 30 years continue to unite our people in a true community spirit for many years to come.
And while we are good neighbors over the next 30 years, there will be more of those stormy winter mornings. And you will hear again those long lists of school closings. The warning you will hear when Jim Hill comes on with his farm review. On Bob DeHaven's News at 7:15. On the musical clock, Stuart McPherson at 8:30. When you're working through the morning, Mrs. Housewife, doing the washing and the ironing and the cooking and the baking, yes, it's hard work. But your good neighbor brings you Bob DeHaven, Bert Hansen, Jeannie Arlen, Arthur Godfrey and his friends to make those wearisome hours lighter and easier. A woman's work is never done. Lunchtime, the farmer comes in from the fields. There's farm news with Maynard Spies. Yes, that's a service for you folks out there on the farm. But there's entertainment, too. Bob DeHaven, Bert Hansen, Tony Grise, Jeannie Arlen, Joan Iden, Wally Olson and the band, and lunchtime entertainment for both farm and city tastes. Market reports, noontime news with Cedric Adams, news from all around the world, from the town down the road, from your community, from the big city and the small town. Yes, each day has its routine, each day all too much like the day before. But radio goes where you go, from room to room, in the barn, in the laundry, and in the car. In the afternoon, drama, music, entertainment for you. Every weekday afternoon, Art Linkletter's house party, music made in USA, bright tunes to lighten that afternoon load. Ma Perkins, the homely philosophy of Alan Gray, and a young man named Ed Veman, who's made quite a thing out of being just nobody. And at night, the supper time chore, the husband returns. When do you like your news? At 5 o'clock with Alan Jackson. Or you can hear all the news of the Northwest at 5:15. Late afternoon farm markets with Maynard Smith. News, all the news. News with Lowell Thomas. Dick Enroth in the sports news. The crisp, concise news as presented by Edward R. Murrow. And what do you like for entertainment in the evening? Well, there's Jack Benny, Amos and Andy, Our Miss Brooks, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, outstanding drama, Gunsmoke, Suspense, Gangbusters, Mr. and Mrs. North. There's variety with Clellan Card any Saturday night party, Junior Talent Parade, The Perry Como Show, Cedric Adams and his Little Talk Little Tune, Hal Garvin, the crackling wit of Hoosier Herb Schreiner, Tennessee Ernie and the Pea Pickers. Yes, radio is with you from morning till night. Radio follows you everywhere. Farm tractors come with radios these days, and it's in the barn, in the car, on the picnic, in the duck blind, and yes, even in the fishing boat. And when Saturday afternoon rolls around, there's a full story of the Minnesota Gophers, thrilling play-by-play. And for the ladies, the Dara Aldrich program. For every member of the family, from dawn to bedtime, it's WCCO Radio.
This is WCCO. St. Paul, Minneapolis.
The early days of crystal sets soon gave way to super hits.
WCCO progressed, and now you hear the very best.
People listen, far and near, better coverage, year by year. Public servant, home of stars, in the homes and in the cars.
WCCO, WCCO, and 20 more to 54, a symbol of the best in radio. WCCO, WCCO, and 30 years to David to the great conquest. WCCO, WCCO, from 24 to 54, a symbol of the best in radio. WCCO, WCCO, and 30 years good neighbor to the great Northwest.
You've been listening to an hour and a half presentation celebrating the 30th anniversary of WCCO, Good Neighbor to the Great Northwest. Your narrator was Eddie Gallagher. Wally Olson conducted the WCCO Orchestra. Special music and arrangements by Ernie Garvin and Vince Bastian. And our thanks to the hundreds of former WCCO employees who have assisted with their memories, their talents, and special recorded material which you have heard tonight. Ralph Hertzgard speaking. This program was written by Jim Borman, Chuck Sargent, and Bob McKenzie, and produced and directed by Bob McKenzie.
WCCO.